This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Happy New Year, boys.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a little late, frankly, for the Happy New Year's, you know?
Season on the line. Loop's kick is on the way. Loop missed it!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen. Coming up, full NFL playoffs breakdown, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. It's hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. We'll take some phone calls in just a matter of moments. We're just picking through week 18, and it's now time to turn to the unfortunate subject matter that happens every single day after the NFL season is over. It's kind of sad, but it's always happens. I'm holding in my hands a 20-page document from NFL Network Research, which is the packet of coaches on hot seats and who is not and who is and who's gone and who's already been gone. It's sad because in this 20 pages are names of, again, coaches who thought better could happen, who get opportunities that they didn't think could happen, maybe that they earned through hard work, climbing up a ladder, and families who are now putting things in boxes right now. So I just want to just put that out there. I understand, you know, that coach should be fired. This one should be that sort of other thing. But
most people won't humanize it the way you just
I did. Just wanted to say okay. That because, again, yeah. This is not fodder. It is of interest, and obviously it's news because you hire the right one. Hour number one, we had Liam Cohen on the program. 4-13, 13-4. Hello.
Got it right.
We just talked about Ben Johnson.
Got it right.
Right. And so I've got this packet here. In this hour of the program, third hour of this Monday program, we just went through the first hour two, in which somebody wasn't fired. Hour one, right. Jonathan Gannon. The hour before the show,
yep.
Pete Carroll. 2 hours before the show, Kevin Stefanski,
yep.
Getting fired. Last night, Raheem Morris getting fired. And so we shall see what happens over the next few days and hours.
Yeah, Bengals put out a statement, Zach Taylor safe.
I could have told you that. Same thing with general manager Duke Tobin. If you're under contract, now the question is, will they put another year on his deal?
Right.
The answer is no. You ask Marvin Lewis how this happens and how this works. Mike Brown does not pay you to coach somebody else.
Yeah, it's not work.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I could have told you that.
Bengals fans kind of in an uproar. I've read some.
For sure.
Like Nick Lachey wrote a very long, you know.
Oh, Nick Lachey. Oh, Nick Lachey. Oh, you went deep there.
He is not happy.
You don't want to piss off Nick Lachey, do you?
No.
Super.
He went to 99 degrees.
Wow.
This is like 110.
Look at you.
Thank you.
You caught me with that one.
Thank you.
I'm kind of staggered. I didn't see that one coming like Jake Paul.
Hey, now.
Oh, he saw it. That was
oh,
nice.
He did.
Well, not in the script, TJ.
So, you know, the question is why did these things happen, okay? And in the case of Jonathan Gannon, 3 years at the controls in Arizona, 3-14. Would you believe that's the most losses in a season in the history of the Cardinals?
14.
Oh. Don't forget, there was used to be only 16 games.
Right.
The Cardinals never cracked above 500 in each of Gannon's 3 seasons there. 8-9 was as close as they would come. That was last year.
Didn't they start 2-0 this year?
They did. In case you're wondering, the Cardinals joined the 2013 Texans and the 1966 Houston Oilers as the only teams since the middle of last century to start the season 2-0 and finish with 3 or fewer wins. Oof. They lost 14 of their last 15 games. They lost their last 9, longest Cardinals losing streak to end a season since they lost 10 in a row to end the 1944 season. Meanwhile, each of the three NFC West teams, the other teams in their division, had 12 or more wins and made the playoffs this year. So that kind of hurts your case too. And in the middle of all of it, and we got an indication from the quarterback in question that something went down about Kyler Murray. And I understand he got hurt, and he got hurt. It was a foot injury on what looked like to be a snap that went off his face mask, and he stumbled after it, and we didn't see him play another down the rest of the year, right? And Jacoby Brissett comes in, and suddenly Michael Wilson looks like Marvin Harrison Jr. did in college.
Yeah. Looks like his dad.
And then we watched Trey McBride have an all-pro season at tight end.
One of the best tight end seasons of all time.
Right.
World season.
And Kyler Murray said something very cryptic, if you recall, at the outset of, whatever was happening when he was asked about the new facility that was announced, that they're upgrading their facilities in a couple of years. And he basically said, if I'm here to see it.
Yeah.
We all kind of caught all that.
Right. Whoa.
What's that mean?
So Gannon was in the middle of all this, and he is now gone at age 42, joining the team, as you all know, after the Eagles went to the Super Bowl in the building he wound up coaching in and losing to the Chiefs. So, you know, Kyler, by the way, started only 5 games this year. He's counting his $54 million in dead cap money if they cut him. Of another 2020, in the 2026 league year, he's guaranteed on the 5th day of the league year, $22 million. Keep an eye on that as they go and look for a new head coach. And that'll be one of the first questions the new head coach gets asked, right? What are you going to do with Kyler? Certainly since Jacoby Brissett was running the offense in a way that looked far better than anything we've seen from Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and James Conner, you know?
He was slinging it.
So Jake Brissett showed the way, and unfortunately it did not lead to wins, and now Jonathan Gannon is going to be somebody who I would imagine you can hire to work on your defense, if not maybe as a head coach. We will see. Same thing for Raheem Morris. This one I don't understand. Again, I'm not in the building. I don't know what's going on there. I don't understand why a guy who finished with 4 straight wins and the offense looked like it did, with Bijan Robinson looking like an offensive player of the year candidate, the first variety, and Kyle Pitts looking like the guy the Falcons thought he could be when they drafted him 5th overall out of Florida, right? Was it 4th? At any rate, top 5 pick.
Might have been 4th.
And they go 4-0 after being eliminated from playoff contention. So they played hard when there was nothing supposedly to play for. And Raheem Morris is one of 5 head coaches this century to end a regular season on a 4-game win streak or better and then not return the next season. The last one was Anthony Lynn in 2020 here in Los Angeles. But that one kind of you could see coming in a way, certainly since he was seemingly resistant to start. Justin Herbert wanted to make sure Tyrod Taylor didn't lose his job to injury.
Well, then they sent in the team doctor and took care of that.
Jeez. That's the craziest start to a career.
Like, the other 3 coaches retired at the end of their seasons. And their names are Tony Dungy and Joe Gibbs. The only other one who had a win streak of 10 and then got fired was Marty.
Marty, yeah.
In 06 for the Chargers.
They went 14-2 that year, I think.
That's wild.
Falcons haven't made the playoffs since 2017. Arthur Blank clearly is running thin on patience and decided to make a massive organizational change. Massive. I mean, Rich McKay has been the president of the football team forever. I don't recall last time he wasn't.
Yeah. I don't know an era where he wasn't.
As you know, he's always involved in the competition committee. He's now going to be in charge of the Arthur Blank Sports and Entertainment Group, which has got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So Arthur Blank has decided to keep Rich McKay in his orbit, but completely change things around football operations-wise. A lot of rumor is Matt Ryan's going to be hired to become the president of the team and run that part of the operation. And if you're going to be just saying, you know what, I'm changing the entire way I've done things around here, I guess it stands to reason that you're going to, if you do that, tell the new folks, new GM, new coach, you choose it.
Yep.
That's the only way that this makes sense. Because it seemed like they were playing for Raheem, and what, didn't Drake London and Bijan say they want the guy around? And the two rookies, the, you know, there's some rookie defensive player of the year, defensive rookie of the year candidates, James Pierce, rushing the ball, Xavier Watts picking it off. You know, the offensive line was beginning to gel, but just
a lot of talent on that.
Can you imagine if they'd beaten the Jets, they'd win the division, the Jets would be first overall on the clock.
They should have beat New England. They missed extra point in that game.
And how about the way the season started against Tampa? Who wound up going 8-9 and not making it because the Falcons won their last four.
The way of not winning that division is just almost inexcusable.
So there's that one. Let's go to the phone lines. David in Minnesota wants to chime in here. What's up, David? You there, David?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Appreciate you having me on. You guys hear me?
We can.
What's up, man? David?
All right. First things first, I got a comment. Last time I called in, that we were having some technical issues. It is absolutely diabolical to go through an airport with a full sandwich. So let's just get that out of the way. But
yep.
And we hear Richard, you asked me how long you've been a mailman.
Cut this call.
It's long enough to be more opinionated than Newman on Seinfeld.
Okay.
So here come the opinions. I want to hear some apologies from all the Mike Tomlin, Harbaugh haters, Kyle Shanahan haters, the teams that have fans that want to call for their head, but they still figure out a way to win, or unfortunately for the Ravens to lose. But the whole point of this call, though, is I don't know what the Browns are doing with Kevin Stefanski. And, you know, he gets handed this absolute goose egg of a quarterback, contract situation, no draft picks, and he still finds a way to, you know, do what he can with that. But the real question I had for you guys is, where do you think Kevin Stefanski is going to end up to be the head coach of? And then secondly, if what would be your opinion of where would the best team fit be for his style of offense?
Giants, David, I think the Giants would be, again, I don't have any insight other than just what I hear in circles. I'm not in contact with anybody in the Giants organization. I just know how Stefanski is regarded around the league. Out of Pete Carroll, Raheem Morris, and Jonathan Gannon, and Daboll, and obviously, I guess, you know, out of everybody that's been fired right now, Brian Callahan, the one that I would think that would have the best chance at a job next year, still being a head coach, would be Kevin Stefanski, a 2-time coach of the year for Cleveland, where I think his offensive acumen is valued and his organizational skills are valued. And we will find out. We will see. I don't know. I know. His name has not been mentioned yet for any other job because he's now free to find one. Would Tennessee want to bring him in? I don't know anything on that front. But you're right. There's many different circumstances. You could say this year was a complete dud and he's to blame. You could also say this year was a complete dud because, gee, how is it to draft two rookie quarterbacks and have Tyler Huntley on the roster, and also for a brief bit, and also Kenny Pickett before a game even gets played, you trade him away, and then you trade Joe Flacco away and start two rookies. How does that look? I mean, no one's going to look Coach of the Year on that front, David. My follow-up question for you is, what sandwich was it that you were trying to get through an entire
airport? Talking about me.
Oh.
No, he's talking about, I'm talking about him. It was the ham and, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the ham and cheese sandwich.
Okay, very good. Thank you, David. I appreciate the call. That's David in Minnesota calling about his Browns.
And my sandwich.
And your sandwich. entering this year, Kevin Stefanski had won two of the last five Coach of the Year awards. Stefanski, Belichick, Arians, and Ron Rivera, the only head coaches this century to win multiple Coach of the Year awards. Listen, let me ask you this question. Chris, can you look up, when did they make the Deshaun Watson trade?
When?
Look that one up for me.
Sure.
Because I'm sure I know it. But things just blend together.
It was March of 2022.
Isn't that right? Okay.
Formally announced on March 20th.
Okay. So.
Giving up three first round picks?
From 2020 to 2023, the Cleveland Browns under Kevin Stefanski went 37-30 and made the playoffs twice.
Won a playoff game, right?
It was the highest winning percent. Well, they won the COVID year, as you know. It was the last year that the Steelers won the division, and they were 12-4, and Stefanski was in his basement with COVID, and they went ahead and won that football game and then went to Arrowhead and gave the Chiefs a nice run for their money.
Yeah.
With Baker. And it's the highest winning percentage for the Browns over a four-year span since the 86-89 Browns team. So. And then Deshaun Watson shows up. And that contract still stands the test of time as one of the worst ever awarded to anyone in the NFL. Now, the results, we're playing it. We're playing it. Because Watson, on the field, was so dynamite in Houston, I totally understand why people would fall head over heels for the guy on the field. The guy off the field, what was going on then, again, has to play into it. Because he did, you know, miss 11 games one of the seasons. And that contract just still rules over the Cleveland roost. All of it. No question about it. His inability to be available has killed the team. Killed it. He, when available, played well enough, it seemed. And sure enough, the new head coach coming in may have number four as his starting quarterback next year, the final year of his fully guaranteed contract. And I think, just reading tea leaves, the Haslam family's fingerprints on that decision alone, along with last year's draft being chock full of rookies that look great, from potentially the defensive rookie of the year. And that's not Mason Graham. I'm talking about Carson Schlesinger. And they also, Harold Fannin, they had a terrific draft this year.
They did.
That may be why Andrew Berry's still around. Might not have been his call to give it fully guaranteed. That had to come from the ownership suite. That had to. And that's part of why Stefanski's on the street right now. Who would have thought? Starting the season with Joe Flacco and two rookies was going to work out in this division. Who thought that? You know? And then you trade Flacco in the division and you go fully with two rookies. And you send Pickett to Vegas and Tyler Huntley winds up winning a game against the Bears and the Packers. He went 2-0 against the NFC North. He was on your team. Who'd have thought that was not going to work out? Literally anybody who could fog up a mirror and follows football. So we'll see. The Browns are going to be on their 11th head coach this century when they hire a new one.
Jeez.
And if he is hired somewhere else, the rarity of that. There have been four head coaches since 2015 to be fired by one team and then hired by another team in the same offseason. The most recent one was Frank Reich, who didn't last the year in Carolina. Before that was the aforementioned Ron Rivera, went from the Panthers to Washington.
Oh.
Before that, these other two didn't work out. Chip Kelly going from the Eagles to the 49ers, only to be one and done there. And then from the Dolphins to the Jets, Adam Gase.
Oh, then Andy Reid, though. Andy Reid's on that list.
To go from since 2015.
Oh, it's 2015, sorry.
He predates it.
He was 2012.
The only Browns head coach to get another job in the season after coaching the Browns was Marty. Parted way with the Browns and then wind up with the Chiefs. That's how rare it is. So, but if there's anybody I think in the current coaching cycle that would get another job, it would be Stefanski, who I think is valued by a lot of front offices in this league. And we'll find out just how much. But the Browns are moving on. And whoever takes the job, it's like, hey, you got a bunch of fresh rookies who just balled out, okay? And the sixth overall pick. And also, Deshaun Watson. Don't you think he's starting next year?
I do.
You'd think so, right?
Why wouldn't they give it one last run?
50-something million reasons.
For all your money that you've put in his pocket.
Exactly.
And he's ready to play. Let's see what you got. I mean, we've seen Rodgers at age 42, a year removed from an Achilles. And we've seen what Cousins looks like now, a year removed from Achilles, doing what he did in the last four games. Deshaun Watson's a spring chicken compared to those guys.
Yeah, I mean,
best of luck.
Remember how good Deshaun Watson was, Brock?
Yeah, I do.
He was unstoppable.
He was unstoppable,
amazing. Dude.
But the guy's played in since 2022. He hasn't played over seven games.
Like 20 games total?
You know, like.
That's the Browns right now. But they keep the GM, and they're keeping the GM in Arizona, and they fired the lot in, and they're keeping the GM in Vegas, and they fired the lot in Atlanta. House clean. And they fired the coach, but kept the GM and reorganized the front office in Tennessee. And they keep the GM in East Rutherford for the Giants. And they keep the coach, but not the GM in Miami, presently. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. That's our check of the coaching carousel. We talked about Pete Carroll earlier. I'm happy to revisit if you want to chat. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, there's a new sack record, everybody. We'll stop the show for it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it. And you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass. Weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different.
because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Where are we going to go here? Oh, Al in Dallas. All right, Al, hey, you got the floor. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. And more importantly, congratulations to my brother from another mother, Mr. Chris Brockman.
Okay.
That's fantastic news.
I know. The Patriots are in the playoffs.
That's true. Yeah.
Looking exactly. for a ring.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
What's on your mind, Al?
Congratulations. Welcome to the party, pal. How fast should Stefanski have gotten a phone call this morning from where are they now, East Rutherford?
Well, I don't know if you heard the end of my first hour commentary on this program, but I said the Raiders and the Giants and anybody else should just take a YOLO shot at Cignetti. Take a shot.
Yes.
What do you care?
Yeah.
What do you care?
I agree.
I apologize for disturbing him at his moment of being the head coach of the biggest bullies on the college football block out of nowhere in Indiana. You got to shoot your shot just to see if you.
Yeah. Well,
wouldn't he be perfect for the Giants? Cignetti.
You understand these things? They don't really go right to the coach. They go to his. They go to his representatives and they have a kind of quick conversation.
Sure.
And I'm sure that's going to be a quick conversation. Yeah, I mean, you got to give it a shot. The Raiders definitely got to give it a shot because they're going to draft a kid, you know. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm all in on Stefanski. So
you are.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is 11. He was 11 games under 500 and went 3-14, whatever he went. With the Cleveland Browns, I mean, come on. He was celebrating. He probably popped champagne this morning after he got canned.
Oh boy.
You know, so like for me, it's a no-brainer. And that's a no-brainer job. I mean, they have the parts there. I just can't see. I can't see how that's not done in a week.
Well, I mean, they're going to go through their due diligence that now is.
You know what I mean.
Now the interview process is starting. We shall see how the Giants value Stefanski, or if they're going to take any YOLO shots here. The other thing I would do is I'd wait to see when the Steelers season ends. You call up your old pals, the Rooneys, and say, you know, what compensation do you want if Tomlin wants out? You kick that tire. You kick every possible tire before you go and hire somebody from the current cycle. Right now.
Let's just assume let's play in the world where Harbaugh and Tomlin aren't available.
That's okay? Correct.
Like
you should play in that world.
You know what I
most
mean?
Likely.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. Yes. If those two gentlemen are not available, Stefanski's, I think 1A, you know, Cignetti, I don't even think that's going to be a possibility.
I don't think that's either. I'm just, again, saying you got to take these shots. It's all it costs is just one quick phone call. To be told the door's shut. That's all.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's what Joe Shane gets paid the big bucks for, and he was able to survive, you know. And on another note, I was torn with the Giants winning, but the last thing I wanted to see is the Giants with the first pick and having to get tempted of possibly making a trade with the Jets and sending them the next Joe Namath. You know how strange would that have been? You know, if they were in that position and they had to trade that pick and then the new franchise quarterback was traded in the city. That would have been a tough spot.
Al, greatly appreciate the call. We've got the draft order up on the screen here. Keep it up there. I don't recall this happening, guys. Honestly, think about it. I've been around this a long time. This just hit me. You look at the top picks in the draft. Every one of them, except for the Jets, are on to a new coach. Look at that. The Raiders, Cardinals, Titans, Giants, Browns will all have new head coaches.
Wow.
All of them. And Aaron Glenn at this point in time is apparently safe, despite the Jets having a season with 3 wins. And then this, I mean, for this has got to really stick for Aaron Glenn. As prideful a guy as there is, and a cornerback by trade when he played. But it's official yesterday. The Jets became the first team since interceptions were tracked in 1933. How about starting that way?
Man.
Became the first team since the NFL decided to say, you know what, when a defender catches a pass thrown by the opposing quarterback,
mark that
we down. Should start recording these.
Just mark that down.
You know? We should start marking this stuff down. They're called interceptions. And that's called a pass that's forward. You know, if this forward pass thing's going to be a thing.
If it's going to stick.
You know what I mean? We might as well start marking it down.
That guy out there, he's done that a few times, right? Do you know how many times?
That might have been the earliest higher register in the history of the NFL. You know what? These interceptions are a thing.
This might catch on.
By the way, I just looked up things that were invented in 1933. FM radio.
Okay.
Amphetamines.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey.
The Monopoly game.
Hey.
That's massive.
Drive-in movie theaters. And the first Major League Baseball All-Star game.
Yeah, okay, there you go. And the only thing that probably, you know, Jets fans from back in that day would reach for is amphetamine. When you hear this stat, the Jets became the first team since interceptions were tracked in 1933 to finish a season without a single interception.
That's crazy.
And just to, again, talk about how difficult this must be for Aaron Glenn to swallow. He's one of 6 NFL head coaches in the history of the NFL to have had 40 interceptions on his own as a player or more.
Ooh.
Unbelievable. And they had an extra game to do it. Now every stat is just like, well, you know.
Little asterisk.
There's an asterisk because they have an extra game. Well, this is an extra game that actually helped the Jets, and it still didn't.
They almost had one.
And Richard Trubisky was starting the last one.
Miracle Whip invented in 1933.
Oh, stop it.
But one thing, though,
Brock. V8, Windex.
You know what? You know
Rich,
what?
One thing I can't believe Brockman didn't mention. The electronic tote board for betting was invented.
Hey. You know what? I could take it from you.
Okay, sorry.
Can't
PJ.
Take it.
No, from the Patriot fan over there. It's not like he's enjoying this segment too much.
Very, very much, though. Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy. Out of the top 6 picks in the draft, the Jets, despite winning 3 games, are the ones to have kept their coach.
Do you think
everybody else? Oh, absolutely. Come on, man.
I don't know.
Come on, man.
A 3-win season and you have 0 plan at quarterback.
Dude.
But how's that the coach's fault?
Well, like, it's not the coach's fault. He took the job and they took their shot at Justin Fields, who, you know, is going to be one and done there. Then of course, the second overall pick in the draft is in a draft where you don't even know who's going to be the second best quarterback available. Bottom line is the Jets should just keep trade out to somebody who wants Dante Moore if he comes out, and save all your picks for a Manning. The Jets should choose. The Jets should look at their franchise like you do your trading card. At some point, it's going to be really valuable.
Yeah,
and we're going to strike it rich with them.
Can you do this in the NFL? Remember back in, what was it, 78, 79? The Celtics drafted Larry Bird, even though he didn't come out.
They can't do it.
Imagine if you could do that in football.
Honestly, if you could do it in football, I would advocate the Jets do it right now for Arch Manning with the second overall pick. Yes.
He's not going to come out for another year. Don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Man.
But yeah, I mean, I don't look at this season and go, that's Aaron Glenn's fault. Really? Especially in the middle of the season, let's take a defensive-minded head coach and let's pluck their 2 best youngest players off of the roster in the middle of the season for future draft considerations.
I mean,
let's
do that. I appreciate
Come on, man. Personally. And then Garrett Wilson, let's just you know, sit him out the rest of the season.
Did you see he led the Jets in receiving yards and only had 395?
Okay. Exactly. That's Aaron Glenn's fault. Really? Come on now. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more honest.
Not great.
Don't usually start a stat with that. You know, these touchdowns are a thing. You know, we should start tracking them. When did they start tracking touchdowns? Was that from the very first game, I imagine?
When
you know?
You notice that guy's been like
when the
really
Potsdam Pots took on whatever the hell. The Canton Bulldogs against the Potsdam Pots.
Yeah, you wouldn't notice
that. What we should do.
Deacon Jones has been really hitting the other quarterback a lot and stopping them. Maybe we should keep track of how many times.
Call them sacks.
Yeah. The first touchdown was tracked since the beginning.
Okay, good to know.
1920.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay, Jim.
All right, we take a break. And now we're going to stop the show for the sack record conversation. Brockman thinks it should not be celebrated.
Well, that's not a shock that he
would. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wait till you hear why.
Oh, do you?
Oh, do you?
All right, we're back on the Rich Eisen Show to wrap up this Monday show in a sec.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, LinkedIn Jobs is stepping things up with their new AI assistant so you can feel confident you're finding top talent and hiring right the first time. Get this, employees hired through LinkedIn are 30% more likely to stick around for at least a year compared to those hired through the leading competitor. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. So we're sitting here on the Rich Eisen Show. Understand this. There's somebody in the vicinity here with their dog that is barking, which is only fitting that we're about to talk about Myles Garrett. You know what I mean? Although this didn't happen in the dog pound. It happened in Cincinnati, Ohio, where the Bengals were not happy about losing to the Browns again. And they certainly weren't happy that Myles Garrett got the sack record against them. And certainly weren't happy that he got the sack record against them. And then the officials stopped the game for a few minutes because it was a moment. And Zach Taylor said, we didn't expect the game to be stopped. And I understand the frustration. You know who doesn't care? Myles Garrett.
Yeah, well.
You know?
He showed us what he cares about.
Which is the sack record. Yeah, Chris, hit it.
And it was everything I expected. And it was so tough. I knew they were going to make it difficult, but I don't think I saw more than three singles on a real drop back the whole game. And I just knew that if I did, I had to make that moment count. And the feeling couldn't be better.
Man, this felt, remember McGuire toured the country for a long time trying to get the home run record? Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Yeah.
This kind of felt like that, where opponents just didn't want to be on the video.
Well, we saw how Pittsburgh approached it last week.
Which is make sure we don't get sacked.
Yeah.
And of course, Garrett lobbed the verbal grenade in there saying
they're more worried about the sack record
than winning. Okay.
I'm just saying, they could have made last night irrelevant had they just handled business against the Browns.
If I had told Myles Garrett when he came on the set saying, I don't want to play for the Cleveland Browns ever again at last year's Super Bowl, you'll get paid $40 million, you'll get the sack record, but your coach is going to get fired and it's a terrible season. Do you think he'd still sign?
Yeah. Because it was $40 million.
It's a lot of cream, Rich.
How about this? Cream, if he'd already seen Micah Parsons get his exit visa and get paid more, do you think he'd still do it?
No, he would have waited, got traded, and gotten more money.
So what, he would have got $2 million?
He cares about money.
We all do. Let's not front.
Not as much as this guy.
Yeah, because you're not in a position to have that much money. Then, if you were, you'd probably do what he did.
I mean, with all due respect, I would not want to play for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, I'll give you that.
After I went everywhere and said, all I care about is winning a Super Bowl.
Mm. But he's got the sack record. And by the way, on game day morning on Sunday, we had all the analysts announce awards, end of season awards, the Defensive Player of the Year award. And for each award, the producers chose three finalists. In the real world, in the AP vote, there's five finalists. For the Defensive Player of the Year award, the three finalists that they chose were Myles Garrett, Myles Garrett, and Myles Garrett. That one is the only award, end of season award, where it's 100% locked in. I think that'll be the only award where it's unanimous. I don't know of another end of season award where it won't be an even split, where there's a ton of first place votes and points being awarded, and it's going to be tight. It's going
to
be tight.
Yeah, Myles Garrett is minus 50,000 TJ to win.
Meaning what? You'd have to bet
$50,000
$1
to win $100.
Oh,
quite an investment.
Yeah,
you understand why I feel this is so stupid.
Which is what?
50,000 to win 100. Like, what kind of sickness is
DJ, that? I can guarantee you a free $100.
He's got to put down 50,000.
50,000.
That's a sickness, man. There are 800 numbers
high
that people
five.
Can call for that.
High right? fives all around.
Hello? I need help.
And you don't think Joe Burrow kind of...
No, he didn't lie
down. Fell down on that?
Get out of
here. Yeah, he did, actually, because he didn't want to get
blasted.
He didn't
want to get hit.
Yeah, so he... He wasn't.
Why does he get a credit for a sack? He didn't take him down. Joe Burrow fell down and he touched him.
He fell down because he didn't want to get hit.
That's correct.
That's not a sack.
That is a sack.
Actually,
you were giving yourself
that's
up.
That's Joe giving himself up.
No, I don't know, buddy. His knee's down on the ground, and then Garrett is the one who's on him. Let me tell you the one thing Joe Burrow doesn't want to do after spending the entire season rehabbing from a toe injury is spending another second in a rehab room this offseason.
Because Myles Garrett fell on you.
That is, or he's going to come sack you. I would counsel Joe Burrow to get down on it.
Get down.
Brett Favre was clapping yesterday. That's all I'm saying.
Did you hear Strahan say that he's got the 16 game record and
they've got the 17.
They've got and Watt and Garrett have the 17 game record.
But no one ever mentioned that TJ Watt was technically tied for the all-time sack single season record. It was always Strahan.
Guess what's not going to matter? They're all going to be in the same bus gallery in Ohio.
I get it.
At the end of the day.
I get it.
Last thing for you, speaking of going to be in the same bust gallery in Ohio as everyone else that's in the Hall of Fame, Travis Kelce will be. The question is, will it be 5 years from now? Because he just played his last game yesterday in Las Vegas. This is what Kelce had to say at the end of the day, period.
I got so much love for this team, this organization, and the people here. So I'll spend some time with them, go through exit meetings tomorrow and get close to the family and figure things out. Who knows? Either it hits me quick or I got to take some time. I think last year it was a little bit easier. I think I knew right away I wanted to kind of give this one a shot. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's better than the what he said on his pod with his bro. Remember that he referred to the Chiefs as what it seemed like as they?
Right.
And everyone's like, well, there he is. He's definitely out.
Well, he looked exhausted on the pod last week.
Guess what, man? It's been a long season, longer than he thought. Did he think he was going to be finishing the season with Oladokun as his quarterback, just playing out the string?
No, of course not.
Eliminated a month in advance.
They have a top 10 pick in the draft this year.
Losing to the Raiders. You know, three catches, 12 yards. You know, last time he's used to strolling off this field with confetti in his hair. You know? I hope it's not over. Just obviously, I want him to. He deserves to be as happy as any other human being I've ever come across. Chris Jones thinks it's not over, but I don't know if this is wishful thinking. Hit it.
I'm not done it. He'll be back next year.
Is that a promise?
I can't promise you anything about another man, but I just don't. I don't know. I don't know. This year was a tricky year for us. I got faith, my dog coming back.
I hope he's right, too. Don't forget, though, he also had to be informed they were eliminated from the playoffs by the media.
That's true.
I don't know if that's too soon.
He wasn't sure.
That would have been a cruel joke to play on him. Oh, by the way, he just announced his retirement.
Oh, what? Come on.
This happened again? I could sit here and run out of time talking about what an awesome human he is. He's the Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate again for the Chiefs and what he's done in his career. So you take your time, sir. And hopefully I'd love to hear he's coming back. That'd be great. I know Chiefs fans would love it if they could just see one more time Mahomes and Kelce, right, going on a run. They take the kid out of Notre Dame as the running back, ninth overall.
Whew. Now you're talking.
And go to work. That's what everybody's thinking they should do with the ninth overall pick if Love is available.
Yeah, you just don't know if Patrick's going to be
ready
for week one.
I know.
So. He's not, right? But
it doesn't seem like it.
He'll be back by, say, week five.
Yeah, let's
probably
go.
There you go.
Maybe he'll be back anyway.
Oh, he's coming back.
I'll be back.
Thank you. Both guys, who I adore on that field, Pete deserved to go out better than what the Raiders did this year, and then him getting fired the next day. And Kelce deserves to have a moment more like, in line with Elway and Ray Lewis and
it's not for Stray long. It's not
and,
for long, Rich.
And Bettis. That's the way to do it. That wraps up this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Back on Tuesday show, Bill Cowher is going to be our first guest on Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.